Public, Larry Ross, and the pleasure of serving as chairman of the Arkansas Independent Citizens Commission. We'd like the record to reflect that our esteemed commissioners are here today. We have a couple that are absent. Commissioner Banks mentioned that he perhaps would be a few minutes late because of previous commitment. And Commissioner Tipton had shared with us that he may not be able to attend. But before we get into the agenda, I'd like to pause just for a moment as we kind of reflect back on the last time that we met, which was a bit of a year ago. I think we all remember we had quite a bit of activity going on. But life is somewhat challenging at times. And then we know that none of us has any power to control it. But I'd like to take a moment of silence in honor of and pay homage to the late Chief Justice Jim Hanna and other elected officials that I know at our meetings this time last year and are no longer with us. So may we pause just for a moment of silence in honor of Justice Hanna, Chief Justice Hanna, and other elected officials. Thank you. Let me also say that there's some other news. I was going to ask Commissioner Tipton to share with us some good news, but I believe he had an offspring during the time that we've been gone. And I just got some other good news from this commissioner that additions are happening in his family and wedding bells and all of that. But we're just thankful for the privilege to serve as a team and congratulate those who have young ones coming and those of us old school folk that just happen to be here today. The meeting is called to order, and let me start with some introductions. Now, I'm not sure if the representative from the Attorney General's office is here today, and if so,
I'm sorry, I'm here.
Would you introduce yourself?
Mia Moss, and this is my first meeting of the commission, but if any of you ever have any questions or concerns, feel free to call me.
That's short and sweet,
yeah.
But I didn't get your full name.
Mia Moffus.
Ms. Moffus, would you like to join us over here?
Absolutely.
Since you're part of the team?
Yes.
And welcome.
Thank you.
So I think, commissioners, we are getting our money's worth out of the AG's office. This is our third one, I believe. But welcome, though. We're happy to have you.
Thank you.
All right. I'm not sure if there are any other elected officials or representatives of the auditor's office or anybody here.
Yes, sir.
Sir, would you introduce yourself?
John Allen, the general counsel for the auditor of the state. She asked me to come in. And, of course, she's at the April's meeting this morning.
All right. Well, welcome. Happy to have you. Any elected officials otherwise. All right. Then let us proceed with our agenda. I'd like the commissioners, if we could, to kind of look at the minutes from May 13th. I think they're before you. And I thank Ms. Gardner for her effectiveness and efficiency of having all of our documents before us. If you look at it and if there are any questions or not, I'd entertain a motion.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Is there a second?
A second.
Friend of death.
Okay. It's moved and properly second that we approve the minutes and so submitted. Any discussion? Not all in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Nays. The motion carries. Let the record reflect. Some months ago, I took the initiative knowing that we would have to schedule a meeting pretty soon to contact Mr. Larry Walker. See if we could get some assistance as we have done in the past. And Dr. John Sheldon, who's been with us before, readily agreed to put together some analysis for us so that we would be able to make future decisions about what our charge is, and that is to deal with salaries, et cetera. But Dr. Sheldon, as you well know, is a respected economist. deals with all kind of analysis, PhD, and what I found, he's very responsive in sending information to us as a commission. So I'd like to invite Dr. Sheldon to come and to take time for his presentation so that we can make some business and sound decisions. But welcome, Dr. Sheldon. And we would, at this juncture, just turn it over to you for your presentation.
I think members of the commission received the handout materials that was sent transmitted previously. I'm going to start with the economic summary and indicator update. And by the numbers, the first page there. And then after that, I'm going to go through other measures and charts, and then end with the revenue forecast for the state that was recently updated and provided for planning for the just completed fiscal session.
Excuse me, Dr. Sheldon. I was just informed that our audio could not be heard. We only meet once a year, so we sometimes forget the routine. But commissioners, if you would access your mics so that in streaming, they will be able to hear us as we have our exchange.
Again, by the numbers there on the first page of that summary, I want to start with the employment growth condition in the state. And you'll notice that economists like to look in terms of growth rates and not absolute numbers for the most part. So we focus on annual growth rates, either calendar year or fiscal year, and in the quarterly and monthly measures, we're looking at mainly year-ago growth of those indicators. But starting with employment, I wanted to point out that Arkansas has moved to a new level of growth in the past 6 to 9 months. And so this is a fairly recent step up in growth. I think in terms of the private sector, anything above 2% you could call labeled as good. And there is one difference here. The top line payroll employment growth is less than 2, and that's because government sectors have essentially been flat for several years now. They were negative for a while with some cutbacks in the Postal Service and cutbacks in local government, but it's essentially flat at this point and has been for a number of years. So we're focusing on the private sector in much of our work at this point, and also the private service producing subset, which is rather impressive in early 2016, approaching 4%, which would be a multi-decade high for that kind of indicator. And in fact, that's why I produced a number of charts for you. To put that growth in perspective with previous cycles of the economy. And the main takeaway from that is that we are now entering a phase of growth that rivals the peak performance of those earlier cycles in the economy. So I have some good news in that respect. In terms of how we're doing relative to the other states, we also in our office rank growth among the 50 states, and that ranking is now 17th highest among 50 states for Arkansas, and essentially equal to the national average. Recall that small states like Arkansas have a higher margin of error of the estimates for their economic measures, so we have to allow for that, but when it's this close, you can say that they're equivalent, even though numerically it looks slightly different. And related to that, when you look at another survey type, which is the civilian labor force, which includes the unemployment rate, Arkansas is down at 4% in recent months versus 5% for the nation. Again, here's one example of that margin of error problem for small states. The margin of error for the unemployment rate for Arkansas is 0.9 plus or minus. So we're just now at a point where you can say statistically that we are different and below the national average. Prior to that, you could not make that statement. And the BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics in Washington, prints their monthly reports in a way to denote which states are statistically different from the nation and which are not. And until you get this far away from the national average, at least in Arkansas's case, you can't make that statement. But another measure that's less publicized is the so-called U6 alternative unemployment rate. That measure is also calculated for the nation, and it's a broader measure that takes into account estimates of discouraged workers, those working part-time for economic reasons, and those who are not in the workforce but could be. And that rate has been closer to 10%. What that tells you is we still have some slack in the economy to work off before we get into a condition of wage inflation in the economy. Turning to personal income, which is another major measure for states, we had experienced 3.9% growth in calendar year 15 over 14. That reflects that slow turn in wage gains in the state, but we appear to be moving out of that that condition. In absolute terms, our per capita income is below the national average at 0.82 or 82% of the U.S. average. But again, as I mentioned last time, when you factor in cost of living as measured by the regional price parity index, we're much closer to the U.S. average when you adjust for cost of living, mainly through housing cost. And the remaining difference would be related to the urban population differences between the state and the nation, with the U.S. being a much more urbanized population than Arkansas, and therefore a different occupational mix as well. Turning to CPI measures of inflation, I have both actual and forecast values. The forecast is from one of our contract services, which is from IHS Incorporated. Recent measures of CPI inflation have been just about zero, and that is the unusual deflationary effect of the energy component of prices pulling down the overall metric to just about zero. And I think you know from your own life experiences that one component like energy cannot stay at that effect for long. It tends to be a very volatile measure. And that's why we see another measure, which is core inflation, which takes out both food and energy to produce a more stable measure of underlying inflation. Well, that measure has been running below 2%, which is something of a benchmark for the Federal Reserve policy making. And one reason it's below 2 is that the dollar rose sharply in 2015, making our import prices decline. The high valuation of the dollar made imports cheap, and it's reflected partly here in CPI. But going forward into the rest of 2016 and on into 2017, the outlook is for energy to turn back up slowly and add to inflation rather than taking away from it. And that could be said of a lot of commodity components in our inflation measures. Also, the dollar that strengthened, as I mentioned, in 2015 is starting to come back to a more moderate level relative to other major trading currencies. And so import prices may moderate as well. The bottom line there is we're going to see some more inflation going forward. But I will mention that, you know, energy price forecasting is a pretty tough business. I mentioned some of the energy prices at the bottom of that page from IHS. Both crude oil prices and natural gas, both contract and spot prices. You know, these vary from month to month, and our forecast services do provide monthly updates of these, and they do wobble around because of market conditions. But in general, I think it's reasonable to say that energy prices are not going to swing back as fast as they went down for a variety of structural reasons in the marketplace. The next page is the text summary of overall conditions. And if you look at that in combination with this 50 state growth ranking the table, where Arkansas is 17th in growth, what we find looking back over this cycle of the economy since the recession is that, you know, Arkansas looked fairly good during the financial crisis and the recession because other states were so exposed to the housing crisis. Our main problem there was Northwest Arkansas, which was more like that, more exposed to that problem than other parts of Arkansas. But in general, our state was not as affected as some of the other states, including large states like California and Florida. Well, after that recession, those states that were severely impacted came back at a faster rate than Arkansas. And we moved down in the rankings of growth compared to those states. And in more recent times, we've been drifting back up towards the national average. And in fact, in long expansions, you would expect, or we observe, that states tend to converge on the U.S. average. The one big exception going on at the present time, though, is the energy states have been falling past us on the way to the bottom of the list, which is, I think, the second page of the table of state rankings. They occupy the bottom seven states for job growth rankings. And frankly, they're having a lot of budget problems in those states at present. Also on the text summary that we have here, I wanted to mention alternative approaches to looking at COLA determinations for systems. In the case of Social Security, they have in the law a set approach or formula to determining the COLA for Social Security recipients, and that is based on the federal fiscal year, and it's looking at a version of CPI inflation. That backward-looking formula in the law is picking up on that very low inflation caused by energy dropping so hard. And the determination for 2016 was no COLA in that system. And that, of course, that news has been out for a while now. They will recalculate that late this year for 2017 COLA determination.
That was not good news.
And a lot of other people. So that one is based on a backward look at inflation. It is a standard formula. They don't change the method from year to year. So consistency is what I wanted to mention in that regard. But that one is a case of backward looking inflation. Turning to the charts, I got a little carried away on some of the charts here, but I wanted to share with you some of these measures going across the last two or three expansion periods. And the first one is from the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia, which compiles a coincident index for all the states using a short list of economic indicators, including the ones that I've mentioned in other ways. It looks like this. And it says coincident economic activity. What that shows is that indeed, in 2015, we started to lift off to a higher growth rate, and we are approaching some of the better performance points in the cycle as shown in previous cycles. And the next chart is total private employment in Arkansas, which looks like this. Again, that is one where we're starting to see a level of growth, annual growth, that rivals the best performance in previous cycles, looking back at the 2000s as well as the 1990s. There are a few times in which this private sector growth rate moves above 2.5%, and we're there now. We may not stay there, but it looks pretty good at this point. The other issue I wanted to mention is that during the recession, which remember was a financial crisis with recession, there was a publication put out by some economists at the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City during the recession, and they pointed out, using other countries as a guide for countries in this situation, that they tended to have a long protracted recovery period compared to normal recession recoveries. You know, that involves consumers paying down their debts, corporations holding back, and banks not lending as readily as they would. But they found, using other countries as a guide, mainly Scandinavian countries that had been in financial crisis with recession, that in those cases, the recovery is longer, and we have already seen that at this point. And that also suggests that we may see a long expansion period, perhaps the longest of a generation. Now, it can always be turned by some crisis, in the Middle East or somewhere else. But looking at those studies suggests that we may see a protracted period of good growth stretched out to some extent. Now, part of this length of expansion has been a low wage period, a low job growth period, but we are moving out of that into another phase. At the national level, as well as Arkansas, we still, though, have a characterization calling it a two-tiered economy. At the national level, it's being described as two-tiered because exporters are not participating. They're actually, net exports are actually a drag on GDP in recent times and currently. The manufacturing sector has not participated to a great extent, and now we've added energy as a major drag. Energy is a small component of employment, but it was a huge component of business investment in the economy, and we have been erasing that investment over the past 6 months or so. So it had a huge impact on measures like GDP, making it look subpar when the underlying economy was actually stronger than that. Well, this write down of assets in the energy sector is not going to last forever. It's going to kind of pass out of the numbers, and I think you'll see some improvement in top line GDP type measures going forward, regardless of what happens in the oil fields. But in this chart of Arkansas manufacturing, you can see that this is now the second expansion period where manufacturing employment did not participate. And I'll refer back to the one period where it did in the 1990s. That was a special case of Arkansas growing its own particular sector, which was poultry processing. That grew from the late 1980s to about 1995, and then it topped out and actually fell from that point. The entire poultry sector went into overcapacity mode by the year 2000, and we paid a price for that as well. So we're probably not going to repeat that situation. The new version of poultry processing in Arkansas is more automated. It involves converting plants to shutting them down and restarting them with higher automation and fewer low-wage workers on those lines. So it's a different industry than it was. Turning back to the most impressive chart, and that is the private service providing in Arkansas. That is the part driving the state economy at this point. And you can see we're touching 4% growth in that measure, which rivals the best periods anywhere on this chart going back into the 1990s. So we have become a service producing economy. Manufacturing may participate if we have a long expansion, if the dollar moderates and exports respond to a global economy that is improving, but it's not reflected currently. And so what is in the private service providing sectors? It's healthcare, it's professional and business services. It includes hospitality, which is both food service and hotels and whatnot, as well as retail. And I wanted to also mention something about the qualitative mix. Early on in the recovery, there probably was high growth in low-wage sectors and a limited number of sectors. Well, the next stage of recovery observed in the numbers was a broadening of the base to growth happening in more sectors. So that adds and perpetuates the growth rate of the expansion. And along the way, we saw an improvement in the quality of jobs being produced into higher wage sectors. So all of these factors of maturation of the recovery keep the overall metrics going and personal income continuing to accelerate. That is, until we get to the next recession. The next chart is the average hourly earnings of employees in the private sector. And this is again for Arkansas. And what that shows is that because of the severity of the recession and the dislocation of a lot of the labor force and limited growth coming out of the recession, wages did not grow very much over the last few years. We're just now at the starting point where we could start to see some wage inflation coming into the economy, but it has just not been there for the last 4 years. And that in itself has held down inflation measures. No, I think this is a case of all boats starting to rise. It's a broad-based effect where you start to run out of the labor force to pull from. You know, we've got a very low unemployment rate. We've had several years of pretty good job growth. When you add two more years to that, you start to run out of picks of skilled labor. You start to run out of those who have been working part-time that are now ready to work full-time. and others sitting on the sidelines. So the options across sector by sector will start to go down, and you'll see some wage inflation coming in. But at the same time, we have the Federal Reserve probably anticipating all of this, and you'll start to see interest rates going up again, starting in another interest rate rise in June. And there's nothing in this presentation that would suggest an alteration of that path. I think we're going to see a steady course of small interest rate increases going over time. And so it would tend to dampen some of these numbers going forward. But you'll still have time to get to observe wage inflation taking place and even lower unemployment rates. And, you know, you might say, how can we grow if we have an unemployment rate that's falling below 4%? And my answer to that would be, well, look at Northwest Arkansas. They can go 10, 20, 30 years with a very low unemployment rate. And for that to happen, they have to import workers. They have to have a population growth rate that is 2 to 3 times the state average. And I think you see that in some of these other state rankings, states like Oregon. Well, they have triple the growth rate of the population of Arkansas, maybe more. And that's part of the fuel that keeps them going to sustain that kind of growth rate with a very low unemployment rate at the same time. I'm going to skip over the disposable income, but you know, basically anything above 3 for real income is a sign that we're doing well. And graphically, the CPI that I discussed earlier is shown here with core versus total CPI, and you can see the effect of energy in the blue line dragging down overall inflation for a period of time. Well, I think you've seen the coverage of the unemployment rate being a record low in Arkansas at 4%. My guess is it can stay that down at that level for a significant period of time. It can do it because we could question the population estimates for Arkansas. I think if the opportunity arises in the state, we'll see population coming in, workers coming in to take advantage of that. So it will work itself out, but for the next year or two, I think we're going to see unemployment rates at this low point and possibly well below the national average for a sustained period of time. Now, one could argue that that's somewhat artificial. It's true that in the current numbers, we have a lower population growth rate than the national average. The U.S. is about 0.9% per year. The estimates for Arkansas are closer to 0.3. I don't think it can last at that level. I think we'll see some evening out of growth and some acceleration with the opportunities being presented. In Northeast Arkansas, for example, we've got Big River Steel coming online with a steel corridor being defined by Nucor and Big River Steel, and a lot of steel fabrication and other companies locating there with around those plants with the type of steel products, for example, that need processing rather than simply shipping it out as a one-piece good, like the I-beams that we started out with many years ago with the first steel plant. So I think we're going to see a set of clusters of growth around the state that could make this growth sustainable. You'll notice one chart that I added late in the presentation, and that is the civilian labor force in Arkansas. And I think it's just one more sign that we are approaching the peak performance kind of growth that we've seen in past cycles in the state. we're just entering this phase, but the main takeaway for me is that this could last a few more years at this performance that rivals the 2000s and the 1990s, as well as part of the 80s. So, and 3% growth in the labor force is much higher than the population. So it's a cyclical effect of drawing in workers off the sidelines. That's how you get, you know, 3-4 times the growth rate of the population. We are presenting a lot more opportunities in the economy, and they're responding with this kind of growth rate in the labor force. Lastly, I wanted to turn to the revenue reports that we produce, starting with the February 1st letter, which is the official forecast for state revenues. That was the main input into the planning process for the budget for FY17 and the fiscal session. The next to last page of that stapled handout is a table of the official revenue forecast line by line, ending up with the net available revenue for the state for this biennium, FY15 through forecast FY17. The chart reflects, well, first of all, it relates to your question of can we afford to do something? But it's rather difficult to interpret because this table and this revenue forecast combines the economy, it combines tax policy changes, and it combines our risk assessment of factors happening in the collection system, where we determine that they are one time in nature, up or down. This could be factors such as corporate revenue being impacted by large refund claims, which corporate income is our most volatile revenue source for income tax. It could be due to policy mandate in the case of insurance revenue on this table in 2015, where it was decided to sweep excess operating funds from the insurance department into general revenue late in the fiscal year, guaranteeing a surplus from that sweep. And so at the bottom of the table, you'll see a surplus for that year of $191.6 million. Well, some of that was not the economy, it was policy mandate to produce part of that surplus. For the current fiscal year, FY16, this official forecast update shows a surplus of $35.9 million. And this would not be recorded until June 30th. Now, to present a surplus number down there means we are fully funding all categories of the budget. And that's how it works in Arkansas. You have to fill up all the buckets in RSA, Revenue Stabilization Act, in order to indicate a surplus. And that's where we are. And so the last handout is how we're doing relative to that forecast, and that's the monthly revenue report. This report goes through April, so only 2 months left after this. And what you see on the next to last page is essentially a tracking update of how we're doing relative to the annual forecast. And we are now, through April, $110 million above forecast. Well, the forecast, as I just said, had a surplus of $35.9 million. So this is $110 million indicated above that level, with 2 months to go. So it looks fairly good. I'm not going to second guess our own forecast. I'll just say that we're going to have a surplus and that it's a fully funded budget. So in practical terms, I don't need to guess what the final number is. I think that concludes my remarks at this point. I hope you were able to follow along with all of that. I guess I didn't confuse you enough last time.
Well, any questions, observations for the commission?
I don't really have any questions, but I really appreciate the information. Thank you so much. What about retiring, Dr. Shelma? As we watch the baby boomers start to retire, is that factored into some of these numbers?
I should have mentioned that in the discussion of the civilian labor force. This, you do have an effect of dropping out because of retirement. Some of it may have been early retirement during the tough years. When you present a really strong economy, some of them actually come back, though. So that helps.
We come back part-time.
Right. But you're counted. That's the main thing. Most of the measures that I showed you on employment are full and part-time. It doesn't distinguish between the two, but in the metrics on that expanded definition of unemployment, there is some estimate of those who are working part-time because they can't find a full-time job. And hopefully those will improve over time. But yes, the retirement of the baby boomers affects the growth of the labor force. It affects the ultimate growth rate of jobs and income and spending, which we might view in sales tax down the line, because people in retirement just don't have the money to spend like they did in earlier age groups. But that's a long-term issue, and we're doing short-term forecasting for revenue. So we tend to ignore some of those longer-term issues.
It's not coming in waves yet, is what you're saying.
Is not. There are some other issues besides retirement, dealing with discouraged workers or incentives not to work in the economy. Those have not all been quantified out, but it is estimated that retirement of the baby boomers is about half of the effect that we observe in some of these issues.
Sheldon, you may have mentioned it, where is the constitutional offices fund categorized in overall official? I may have missed it, but I'm just trying to see what category.
In our version of the outlook of the revenue story, we lumped together central services. It's kind of in the middle of this table. It's the previous, there you go. It's near the middle. It's lumped together as central services and constitutional officers fund. But I'm sure that the budget office could delineate which is which and the status of them separately. We lump them together as a pull out below the line from gross revenue among many subtractions from gross revenue to get to the bottom.
You may want to plead fifth on this, perhaps. Has a range been established since we know that there will be a surplus? Has a range for COLA been talked about from you all's perspective yet to recommend to those decision makers?
Well, that was my other step, was to refer you to Duncan Baird in the budget office to answer all these questions. As you mentioned, that the revenue forecast is sort of the first step of the process for budget planning. It's the independent first step, and then it's handed off to budget, where you have to reconcile it versus all of these other demands on the state. And they have their own assumptions in that process, such as COLA.
Any other questions? Well, thank you very much. It's always enlightening because learning never ends, even with the data changes. Appreciate it very much. Shall we take a brief break and then come back?
Sure.
Let's take a 5-minute break. It's about 10 till. We'll come back, say, at 10 and complete the remaining discussion, set a date, approve the stipend.